The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 13th, 2008, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So, tonight in this most auspicious holy place, on this most auspicious occasion of the gathering of so many Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada will bless us with this wonderful verse in purport, Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 16.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Abrahma
Bhuvana
Loka
Punar Arbhartinarjuna Mamupecha Tukonteya Punarjanmana Vidyate.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Purpur. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, persons on higher planets such as Brahmaloka, Chandraloka, and Indraloka fall down to earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Chandyoga Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. But if on Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the time of universal devastation are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse, Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte patisanchare parashyante kritatmana pravishanti parangpadam. When there is a devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So, what's the point? You can't be happy here. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. So in no sense beating our heads against the wall, trying to be happy in this ridiculous place, material world. We try and try again and again and again. We fail again and again and again. 8,400,000 different ways of trying to enjoy this material world, and every one of them completely fails, you see. So, it's time we learn our lesson. Stop trying to enjoy this ridiculous nightmare of material existence. And that's why Krishna comes, you see. Yada yadahi dhanamasya glanir bhavati bharata. He is so kind, he wants to pull us out of this madness. Why, my dear children, are you foolishly trying to enjoy in this place? Don't you know this is not your home? Don't you know you are my eternal servants, my beloved children? You are meant to be with me in the spiritual world, enjoying all varieties of unlimited nectarian pastimes. Why are you trying to enjoy this ridiculous, perverted reflection of my actual, in my and your actual home? This is a wonderful verse. I mean, really, really wonderful verse. Because the normal mentality we have here is, well, I'm not happy, but if I just had some more money, if I just had some more popularity, I just had some more power, I just had a more beautiful situation, a more beautiful wife, a more handsome husband, a better car, a better, you know, it's ridiculous. This verse completely dispels that whole syndrome, you know, that you can advance materially and be happy. Because even on Brahmaloka, can you imagine on Brahmaloka, the lifespan, the opulence, the power, the beauty? I mean, we can't even conceive of the material pleasure they have in Brahmaloka. I mean, just take the Soma Rasa wine, for example, which is not even the lower heavenly planets. You don't have to go all the way to Brahmaloka to get Soma Rasa. Even on the lower heavenly, below Brahmaloka, you can get Soma Rasa. I mean, here's a type of intoxication that gives you more intelligence. It makes you more healthy. Not like the intoxication here, but even that is nothing. You see? The beauty of this process of Krishna Bhakti that Prabhupada is so kindly bestowing upon us, you don't have to wait, actually, to go back to the spiritual kingdom. The spiritual world is accessible right here, right now, in the form of the holy names. If we can simply dive sufficiently deeply into the pure utterance of Krishna, within that sound vibration, Krishna, the whole spiritual world is existing right there. All we have to do is enter through the medium of transcendental sound into that transcendental existence, which is beyond even Brahmaloka. You see? This is our airplane that takes us beyond this material world. Mantra airplane, Hare Krishna mantra. This will take us beyond every planet of this material existence. So the spiritual master, he is the ticket agent. He is selling the tickets for the price of faith. So we must put faith in this Guru Parampara coming down from Brahmanji to Narad, to Vyas, Madhvacharya, Goswamis, Chaitanya, the Goswamis, etc., etc. We must put our faith and take this ticket. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we must stick with this airplane. We shouldn't lose faith halfway along the way. Many people come and they give it a try, but they go away. You see? They're not patient enough. They don't have enough faith. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness. And we've been caught up in karma chakra for uncountable eons of lifetime, you see. Uncountable. Millions and billions of lifetimes we've been polluted with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. We cannot expect that immediately that dirt should go away. But if we patiently take up this process, the results are guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo varaktir anyatya chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadyama nashriyatastanashu tushti pushti shudipayo nagasam. Bhagavatam guarantees. It's totally guaranteed, 100% guaranteed from the Bhagavatam. You see? Devotion, loving feelings for Krishna, being able to see Krishna and perceive Krishna within everything, and detachment from all forms of material sense gratification occur simultaneously for one who seriously takes up this pathway of Krishna consciousness. And what is the simile given in the second half of the verse? The simile is that just as nourishment, eradication of hunger, and satisfaction occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in eating. So if you can eat, you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Can anybody here not eat? I think we all know how to eat. I remember when I joined this movement. Actually, I was thinking about joining the movement. I was, you know, checking it out. And they said, the way you advance is you have to please the spiritual master. You have to please Prabhupada. So, well, how do I do that, you know? But then we found out that if you take prasadam, that pleases the spiritual master. So, yeah, I can handle this movement. Chaturvidhashi Bhagavat Prasada, you see. So actually, if you can take prasadam, you can become a devotee. We simply have to learn how to take prasadam in all the varieties of ways that it's available to us. The tongue, the ear, engaging the body in the service. You see, prasadam comes in many, many different ways. We simply have to become very expert at taking prasadam in all varieties of ways that it's available to us. That's all. Like Vaishnava Sangha, that's another type of prasadam, you see. If I can get the association of devotees, oh, that is the sweetest prasadam, you see. Guaranteed. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Kai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Just by one moment's association with the Vaishnavas, you can achieve all perfection. Is it stated in one scripture? No. Sarva Shastrekai, in all the scriptures, it is declared that even one moment's association with the Vaishnavas, the sadhus, can give all perfection. So, that is another type of prasadam. You see? Just like we can drink some nectar drink. I remember I was standing on the steps of the Los Angeles temple. Prabhupada had just given me a flower. He was walking down the row of devotees. That was the system, and when you come back from the morning walks, he would be given a basket of flowers, you see. And all the devotees would line up from where he gets out of the car back to his quarters. You see, he goes up to the temple, makes a right turn, then veers left and goes up to his quarters on the side. In the alley, the steps went up to his quarters, you see. So we would just line up along his pathway, along the edge of the sidewalk, and every devotee would have a flower, and Prabhupada would have his basket of flowers. So you would give Prabhupada a flower, then he would give you one. So every devotee got to have their own little personal exchange with Srila Prabhupada. It was so sweet. I mean, really sweet. Now, I was just visiting. I had come out of the Vishnujana Maharaj from Texas. I was, you know, it was a little tiny outpost temple, you know, with 5 or 6 devotees. And now all of a sudden, I'm here, I'm in New Dwarka with hundreds of devotees. And it was just like unbelievable nectar. Seeing Prabhupada for the second time, I'd just seen him the first time a couple of days earlier at the Ratha Yatra, and it was really an exciting, thrilling experience. So anyway, I wanted to get more of that prasadam of Prabhupada's darshan. And so I just, as Prabhupada finished up the row of devotees and he was walking towards his quarters, I planted myself on the stairway that led up into the temple room. So I could just take the prasadam of his darshan through my, drink the darshan of his transcendental form through my eyes and into my heart, you see. That's another way of taking nectar. You can drink nectar through your eyes also. So I was drinking that prasadam. I just wanted to drink some more of that Prabhupada nectar through the eyes by seeing him walk by, you see, his beautiful transcendental form that has an effulgence that can enlighten the entire universe. I just wanted to drink some more of that nectar into my heart. And Prabhupada was so compassionate. Can you believe? I just some little, you know, some bhakta, some crazy bhakta from Texas. But Prabhupada looked up at me. He was thinking, well, here's one that's not in the line. And so it was all body language. He didn't say a word, but he just held a flower out like, did you get a flower yet? He wanted to make sure that I hadn't missed out on the flowers. He was so considerate for each and every devotee, even some rank and file, unknown devotee with no position. He just wanted to make sure I'd gotten the flower. So I nodded yes. So I smiled and nodded yes, I had the flower already. But now I was wondering, I have this flower. Now, householder, they could take it home, preserve it, you know, and they haven't. But I was just a brahmachari. How am I going to keep this flower? You know, I don't want to lose this flower that Prabhupada had given me. How can I keep it? So I realized, I know what I will do. I will just eat it. Emerge it into my body. So I did that. I ate that flower. It was the most wonderful thing to eat that flower that Prabhupada had handed me. So... And so there are many ways we can take prasadam. You can, by seeing the spiritual master, by seeing Srila Prabhupada, I was drinking the prasadam of his transcendental darshan into my heart. So, in this way, if we just fill up our life 24 hours taking prasadam in this way, taking prasadam in that way, always taking prasadam, and serving prasadam also. Sharing the prasad that we have gotten, the mercy that we have gotten with everyone else, you see. That is called Sankirtan Yajna. You see, the Goshti, the Bhajanananda, he just wants to take the nectar for himself. But the Goshti Anandi, he wants to distribute that nectar like anything, you see. He's a revolutionary. He's like Hanuman wanting to light that Lanka on fire, you see. The Sankirtan devotee, he wants to light the whole world on the fire of Harinam Sankirtan. He wants to enthuse every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet to join the Sankirtan, you see. So, some people say, well, that's a little austere. I'd just rather sit peacefully in my living room. But wait a minute. Here's how it really works. The more you distribute the nectar, the more you get the nectar. That's the insider secret. The more you distribute the nectar, the more you get the nectar. So therefore, those devotees who really understand what's going on, they, as much as possible, they preach, distribute books, distribute the holy names, distribute prasadam, as much as possible. They absorb their lives in this, because there's nothing more ecstatic than spreading Krishna consciousness. Nothing more enlivening, nothing more ecstatic. And actually, the material world gives that special facility, you see. This is a special facility which is not exactly the same in the spiritual world where everybody's already a devotee. This material world has a special facility which is not available in the spiritual world, and that's being able to push forward the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya to people who don't know about it. That's a very, very special thing, you see. Therefore, sometimes we see these great acharyas, they prayed, Janme Janme Prabhu se. You see, they're happy if they can take birth after birth after birth to push forward this movement of Lord Chaitanya. They're very happy to do that. Because they're feeling this is the supreme rasa. There's so many rasas in the spiritual world, but they are experiencing that there's no sweeter rasa than Sankirtan rasa. To bring back the fallen conditioned souls to Krishna. And it's not surprising that this would be the most enlivening experience, because this is the mood of Radharani, actually. This is Radharani's mood. Prabhupada told us in London on Radhastami, very wonderful lecture. He said that you should pray like this. My dear Mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. So Prabhupada explained, although Radharani, of course we know, no one pleases Krishna more than Radharani, you see. Nobody can please Krishna like Radharani. The preparation she cooks, she doesn't have to use, you know, Jamuna's cookbook. She cooks the most incredible preparations. And she never cooks any preparation twice. The most inconceivably delicious. No one can please like Radharani Krishna. But she is so magnanimous. She is so much in the mood of helping other people to get Krishna's mercy, that if we simply beg her, my dear mother, please tell about me to your Krishna. Prabhupada explains, she will recommend to Krishna, my dear Krishna, just see this devotee, he is better devotee than me. Can you imagine what Krishna must think? Oh, there's a devotee better than Radharani. Let us see who is this devotee better than Radharani. So actually this is, her mood is simply pushing everyone forward to Krishna. That's her mood. She wants that everyone should get Krishna's mercy. So it's not surprising that when Krishna takes on the mood of Radharani, he becomes a Hare Krishna. He joins the Bhakta program, Bhakta Avatar. Lord, God Himself becomes a Hare Krishna. Sometimes people think it's weird to be a Hare Krishna, you know. All those weird people who follow those weird customs. But actually, there's nothing more cool than being a Hare Krishna devotee. And the proof is that God Himself, who is the supreme enjoyer, who is completely free to enjoy any way that He chooses to, without any restrictions, he chooses to be a Hare Krishna. So if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. There's nothing more cool than being a Hare Krishna devotee, actually. It's really cool. Because God Himself does it. So this is our great fortune, by the loving grace of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We are learning how to actually be cool-brained, you see. In the material world, nobody has cool brain. Everyone's brain is burning in the blazing forest fire of material existence. But by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala, by that wonderful mercy of Lord Nityananda, we can get cool brain. completely cooled down brain. We're no longer agitated by lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, or envy. Gradually, it becomes like that. If one sticks to this pathway, chants his rounds faithfully, follows the regulated principles, serves his spiritual master with love, gradually, all of these things come. You see, that wonderful awakening of love of God comes. You see, gyanena tutara gyanam yesham nashitam atmanah tesham madicham vajgyanam prakashayati tatparam. When one is enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. When that sun comes up, you can see everything. You see, when it's dark, we struggle in so many ways. We have the headlights in the car, the flashlight, you know, the porch light, the lights indoors. We try in so many ways, but we can't light up everything. You see. Who are we? We're very tiny, insignificant creatures. But when that sun comes up, everything becomes illuminated. So simply, when that Krishna sun arises, then everything becomes very, very clear. Everything throughout the whole existence becomes crystal clear. So if we simply stick very nicely to this pathway, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, serving the great acharyas, mahajano yena gata sapanta, following that pathway of the great mahajanas. If we stick tightly to this pathway, then we will go deeper into that sweet ocean of the holy names of the Lord, that sweet ocean of bhakti. And we will no longer have to take birth again in this material existence. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. And you have to speak up, I'm hard of hearing.
Sometimes when we're trying to preach Krishna consciousness, we come across people who say, you mentioned how the cooling rays of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet cool down the brain.
That's right.
What's the, like we say that there's soul, intelligence, mind, senses, and the self, you, self, is separate from those things. So, the point that often comes up is, but where the intelligence is actually the gray matter of the brain. People say that we're actually our brain. We're that grey matter. And when that grey matter is distorted or if some of it's taken out, then our consciousness is affected, and that's the proof that we're
Yeah, that's their, and that shows where their consciousness is at. So what's the question?
So what's a nice argument to defeat that kind of
How do you enlighten them that they're actually beyond, their consciousness exists beyond their brain? Well, you can try to intellectually convince them, but it's not easy to do that. The best thing is to ask them, would you like to experience your consciousness beyond your brain? Are you daring enough to make an experiment in consciousness expansion? To see if you can actually feel it and live it and experience and taste it firsthand instead of just some intellectual argument. You see? Because if anyone with a scientific frame of mind would really like proof, we can prove it to anyone. If they're willing to be the guinea pig in the experiment, if they're willing to make the experiment on themselves and actually enter into this process of Krishna consciousness for some time is an experiment. We can let them actually experience how they exist beyond their body and beyond their brain, if they're daring enough to make that experiment. But a scientist is supposed to be daring. He's supposed to be willing to break through the all. He's supposed to always be very bold to seek the truth. If he's really a true scientist, you see. He's willing to kick out all stereotypes and look for a higher and higher and higher understanding of truth. He never stops in his pursuit of finding the highest truth, of true scientist, you see. If he's really a true scientist, he'll be willing to make the experiment on himself and try Krishna consciousness seriously for some time. Because we guarantee that person that he will actually experience his identity beyond his body, beyond the brain also. We guarantee them. They will actually tangibly experience it firsthand. And as far as intellectual arguments for someone who does is not willing to make the experiment, that's tough. That's pretty tough. Of course, there's the standard, you know, out-of-the-body experience examples, which they will probably reject as, you know, pseudo-scientific quackery. But there are many documented evidences of people who were in a severe traffic accident, you know. They were all mangled, but they were, found themselves up in the air looking down on the whole scene. Their brain was down there in the body, but their consciousness was up there. But the kind of person you're talking probably wouldn't, he may not accept such examples. But those are actually valid examples. The brain is an instrument utilized by the in the intelligence, but it's not the intelligence. It's an instrument which is simply utilized by the, you know, the mind, the intelligence, consciousness. But it's not that it is the mind. Does that help? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it floats on 10 different types of air.
Yes.
Suppose somebody is doing a getting a heart transplant.
Yes.
And what happens to the soul then?
Yes, the heart is a seat for the soul. So, Prabhupada explains, he simply changes seats. If there is a successful heart transplant, you see, one person has died, just now died, and his heart is sitting there. He got up and left the seat vacant. So they take that good seat, the healthy heart, and they put it in the body of the person with the sick heart. If the heart transplant is successful, then the recipient has changed seats, that's all. He's changed seats. He's now seated himself in a different heart. Prabhupada explained like that.
Mm-hmm. When the astral body leaves the material body, mm-hmm. When you wake up, actually, Paramatma never leaves.
Paramatma leaves and he doesn't leave. Because he travels with the astral body also. Paramatma is within every atom and between every atom. There's nowhere that Paramatma is not present. So the astral body is still connected with Paramatma. He constantly, you know, the example of the enjoying bird and the witnessing bird, the fruit-eating bird and the witnessing bird. So the Paramatma is continuing to go with the soul even when he's doing his little astral travel and his dreams at night. But he's also there in the bodies because he's between every atom, within every atom.
There's one more question. Mm-hmm. There's a pastime in Jagannath Puri. Mm-hmm.
And what happened to him?
Lord Jagannath, his daily output was...
Is this one of our ISKCON devotees or in Chaitanya Lila?
Chaitanya Lila.
Oh, okay.
And actually he offended apparently the Brahmins, the Pujari Brahmins of the Jagannath temple. So that night, in his dreams, Jagannath and Baladev, they came and smiling and slapping his cheeks. So he woke up in the morning.
What a blessing, huh? His face was swollen from the beating.
But he was happy. But
what would, I mean, his concern is to please the Lord in any way, and he's unhappy when he's mistreated, you know, or not served properly. So why would Lord Jagannath chastise him for?
How can you take it as a chastisement? It's the greatest mercy to be personally beaten by the Lord. Wow. I mean, that's just pure nectar. He didn't feel like did he feel like he had been punished or chastised by the Lord? He felt even. So why are you thinking it was a chastisement? He felt it was a great blessing. Why don't you see from his perspective? You see? There was also some Vaishnava, I forget his name, in Chaitanya Lila. He had a whip. And anybody that was whipped with this whip, they would get Krishna prem. So, I mean, would you object to being whipped if you got Krishna prem by being whipped?
Well, I'm still conditioned, so. I'm
trying my best. Don't worry, we're not going to whip you. But if Krishna wants to, you know, I mean, you have to see from his perspective. He didn't feel at all it was any kind of chastisement from what you're describing. Yeah. Any other question? Is everybody satisfied? Yes?
Krishna was the first Vaishnava supreme for creating this universe, and most of the people that confused, knowing that Krishna is the supreme, since he has descended in many forms, it is not Rama and not Vishnu.
What did she hear?
She's asking that Krishna is the supreme. Everything comes from him. Some people understand that Brahma, and Brahma is supreme, mm-hmm. Shiva is supreme. Mm-hmm. And so, who is the supreme?
Yes, it was tested. And the sages tested and they found that Vishnu or Krishna was the supreme, yeah. There was one pastime. What was his name? Bhrigamuni, yeah. He went first of all to Brahma. Yeah, he went to Brahma and he neglected him, right? He did the offense of neglect. He saw the reaction there and he went to Shiva. Brahma was disturbed. He went to Shiva and he spoke some ill words. Shiva was very disturbed. He went to Vishnu and he kicked him on the chest. And Vishnu apologized for having a hard chest. He said, I hope it didn't hurt your foot. So from that he understood that Vishnu was the supreme. And Vishnu is simply the expanded form of Krishna, actually. So it was decided by the sages that Vishnu or Krishna is the supreme. No, no. In Krishna book also, Krishna worships Sudama Brahman, you see. Krishna and Ram, they worship their devotees. They love their devotees so much that they worship their devotees. But we have to understand, from just because someone worships someone doesn't mean that the worshipable person is God. No, we understand from Scripture who is God. Not by who is worshipping who. If according to your logic, then Sudama Brahman would be God. You see? Any other question? Yeah?
In relation to the question that was asked about the soul being different from intelligence, could it be said that the proof of that is when you see someone who gets some disease like Alzheimer or some other kind of condition whereby their facility of intelligence is taken away, but yet they're still present in the body?
What is the question?
She is in
soul is just different than the intelligence? So could it be taken and understood when a person sometimes gets some kind of disease and he is still living but his intelligence is gone? So can we understand that?
The intelligence is always there, just covered. That's as long as when the intelligence is never gone, actually, it's just covered. Mind, intelligence, and false ego are integral parts of the subtle body. And as long as you have subtle body, you must have mind, intelligence, and false ego. You can't, not the intelligence is gone, it's just covered, that's all. You understand?
Some people have mental condition and their mind is distorted. Distorted?
Yes, it's covered. That's all. It's heavily covered. The mind is there, but it's very covered over. That's all. It's like a thick fog rolls in. You can't see anything. Everything is still there, but you can't see it because the fog is there. So someone who becomes heavily covered by the material nature, even though the mind, the intelligence are there, they're completely covered over by the fog of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, and they can't really, they can't function properly because of them. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now? Ready to go back to home, back to Godhead? Give up all material sense gratification. Become pure devotees. Everyone ready? Jai Gantaraj, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Auckland devotees Ki Jai.